doing that in October. I've never.
It looked like it, yeah, man. Like all that stuff turned out pretty great.
I pretty much only draw anymore. Yeah, to do something fun with the kids or to make like a card for Jackie or something.
Right.
But it's so rare. But to like sit down and like draw 31 days in a row and.
Were you cheating and doing?
Yes. Or wait, I was cheating, man. How did you mean?
I was gonna say, just like, were there any days where you did like more than one of them?
Yes. Okay. Just necessity, because like there was days that I knew there was no way in this day, so I would try to get ahead on a day.
Right.
Like if it was a Saturday or something where I had extra hours, I'd try to do two or three to get ahead.
Yeah, that's. I mean, it's cheating the thing, but. Also, who cares?
There's no one coming by to check.
Yeah, it's industrious, I guess, to care enough to go like, oh, I want to try to work ahead.
Yeah.
Or like, I know if I want to do this thing, I know I have to.
Right.
I mean, ultimately, the point of the thing is just to an exercise and trying to, you know, get yourself to do stuff that you wouldn't normally do, I guess. Or
I did the first one on the 1st. And the last one on the 31st. And for the most part, I did them on their right day. But there was a couple times that I tried to get a couple ahead. And there was a couple times where I was one or two behind. And so I'd try to rush them.
Like, let me knock these out.
Get something out real quick.
Were there any that you were like especially... I feel like I'm asking you
especially
this.
Fond of?
Or? Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, I feel like I'm asking you this like as though I'm interviewing you about it. But it's like, I don't know how I would...
So I was really proud of the... Like how Hulk versus Wolverine, or I'm sorry, Hulk versus thing turned out.
Yeah, people get those two mixed up all the time.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Hulk versus thing, I was like, man, that looks pretty sharp. And then I ended up drawing a whole lot more Franklin and Herbie than I thought I would.
I think just, I saw you say something about
that. Because like every time I'd have an idea, that's just where my brain went. Like I thought of like a clever way to do it with them, and it almost could have been a Franklin and Herbie themed. I got in every... I think I feel like I got in every major character or family at least once. And but one of the ones I really liked, the one for fall, where it's like Franklin jumping in a pile of leaves. Mm-hmm. Like that one, I was trying to think of something way more complicated. And that was like Jackie or Cadence or somebody was like, why don't you just have, you know, somebody jump in a pile of leaves? And then I thought, well, it'd be even funnier if it looked like Herbie had just raked up the leaves and then Franklin's coming out of the side to mess it up. Like that, they're just like, catching that moment. And then I drew that and I was like, man, I'm really proud of how this looks. Like Herbie looks good. The pile of leaves, which sounded like a nightmare to try to draw. Like I'm like, it actually looks like a pretty sweet pile of leaves.
I can't imagine how I would, like you say that and I'm like, yeah, I have no idea how I would try to approach drawing a pile.
I did like, yeah, like a jaggedy pile shape. And then I tried to draw some leaves to make like the surface of it. And then just kind of getting less specific shapes going down into just lines.
That's smart. That's smart. Yeah. There's always like, you know, you have those things where you're just going like, I don't know how on earth I'm going to approach this thing. That's like, so one time Kurt sent me a script and for this thing we were going to do. This was like a full issue, not like a Let's Be Friends Again. And the issue's finished, colored and lettered and everything. It's just no one's ever seen it. It's just like the first issue. Like, so.
When you say issue, how long?
I can't remember how many pages it was.
So not a strip, like a comic book.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This was for Comixology. And there was a part in there where he said he wanted this guy to have a huge beard. But the guy was going to have a huge beard. It was like conceptually, it was hard for me to kind of like wrap my head around like what it would be, where it was like, it was something like he had this huge beard, but the beard was like, braided into a net. It looked great big, but it was because it was like braided into the shape. I don't even remember what the point was.
But yeah,
I had to figure out like, how does this work? How do I draw this? And I figured, I mean, I think the reason I'm thinking of net is because that's kind of what it ended up looking like the way that I did it. But I don't think that's like what he said.
Like kind of latticed?
Yeah. Yeah. Basically like, yeah. And it down into the shape of what would look like a big beard, but
you had to also sort of be able to tell that you can like see through it so that you can see that it's
a lot going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, I don't know how on earth I'm going to draw this guy. If
And I wanted to evoke the emotion of ennui.
Yeah. You need to be able to tell that he's having some sad feelings from the beard. But it was like, you basically only kind of see this guy in like a group shot where these characters were being introduced and he's one of the, and that's the thing. It's like, also there's like four other people being introduced in this panel. And it was like a great big widescreen panel, yeah. You know, so you're like going across and you gotta go and like, this is so-and-so, this okay. is blah, blah, blah. But then I was also having to go like, all right, how do I fit all these people in there? I like design these people, put all of them in there, and then also figure out how to letter this so that this guy that's over here is talking and you can mm-hmm. get it. It's going across. You get which one is going to which one and everything. And I say that only like it's hard. It's not like that would be hard for someone who's really good at making comics. But for me going from just like, you know,
we have to think it through.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and just me going from like primarily doing comic strip style stuff, you know, that's like the majority of the stuff I had done, then to trying to figure out like, this is a lot going on one thing. And I feel like also that's kind of like, there was some rough patches in there for Kurt too, because of that. Because it's like, he's writing comic style for, you know, and we've primarily done
strip
all style. Strips. Yeah, so...
This is something that's never seen the light of day.
Yeah. No, you can read it if you want.
I'll read it.
Yeah. It's called High Score, or it's called The High Score. It's about a monk. It's like, well, it's set in the 80s. And it's, we were working, this is years ago. Like it's before the full wave of 80s nostalgia had kicked in.
Before Stranger Things.
Yeah, before Stranger Things. We did it was set in the 80s. And it was about a monk who was really good at video games. That's like kind of the short of it.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, it'd be like a whole thing to get into.
That's okay.
It's like a really fun.
You've been recording all this, right?
Yeah. It's like a really fun story idea. Like when Kurt like and I started talking about it, like the kind of thing that he brought to me to begin with, that then got kind of completely changed over the course of us working on it. And then it's about friendship was like always kind of like, I think a running theme in everything.
Sure.
We did. That like an underlying thing of friendship that ends up being like an important thing. Cause well, and that was the thing that was crazy to me was that like, we didn't do more of, you know, that I think Kurt told me once he just felt like after a while and he hadn't like come up with he hadn't like actually like written out the second issue.
How long was it supposed to go? Ongoing?
Yeah. Just until we got done with this is like a big story. Like this, we put a lot of man hours into just like stuff on the, and I mean, Lord only knows how much thought he put into it when we weren't directly talking about it. But anyway, yeah, that's the thing I wish that everybody could see. But it's like, the thing was, is like we were going to, you know, we had a deal to do it with, we'd like signed the stuff to do it. Contracts, I believe they're called. And, I'm also talking now as though this is going to be on the show. Cause I'm like, we've talked for so long now. I feel like I have to figure out a way to work this in. So, it'll be in there somewhere. Okay. And I guess I could just do the intro now.
Good time as any.
Yeah. Hello. Obviously, you've probably already been listening to this for like 5-10 minutes, however long we've been talking. This is Keep It Close to Me, subsection Comics Rule Everything Around Me. It's where we talk about comics. I'm Chris.
I'm Matt.
Yeah, there we go. And so I hope someone sees that comic someday. Put a lot of work into it.
Man, yeah, I definitely want to see it.
And it was fun. Like, it's all just like, I would love to get to do it just to get to draw some of the fake arcade games that we made up.
Oh yeah.
You know, there's like a lot of stuff like that where Kurt would just go like, they're playing, you know, it'd be something like they're playing some video game.
And he loves video games so much.
Yeah. Yeah. But he was like, but he would just go like, it doesn't matter. Just there's people playing video, you know, it's at an arcade or it's, well, you know, just you can draw whatever. And then the cover for the first issue, it had the two main characters, even though neither of them is really in the first issue. First issue is actually more of like a zero issue. But anyway, spoiling it all. You don't meet him. You don't meet the guy that it's like really going to be about until the end. And the other main guy, he's not even in it. But on the cover, it just had them playing. They're each playing an arcade cabinet, like, and the cabinets are back to back, and just getting to do the side art for those like arcade cabinets was really neat. And it's just like, yeah, whatever can be on there, it doesn't matter,
right?
And trying to think of something that like sort of evokes that arcade period, but also is not anything that's like directly something.
Yeah, this is a game that could have existed side by side with Centipede and whatever, but didn't exist. Yeah.
In a world where things are probably like much cartoonier.
One of my favorite things about comics is when the artist gets to play around like that and throw stuff in the background.
Normally I hate it. Normally I don't I shouldn't say that I hate it, but it's like there's sometimes where I'm like, I would feel like I don't want the pressure of having to like populate all of this.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, what do you think? You know, it's like, what do you, yeah, or not like I just want to put it on, you know, somebody else either, but it's like, I don't know. Sometimes that's where like making comic stuff, this is like a totally different, I did not anticipate talking about any of this. You know, when it's that stuff, you're going, I'm going, they're just floating in this blank white world. And I'm like, I don't know how to draw any of this. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to put back there. I don't know, you know. And so sometimes I think we talked about this some where it was like, have you looked at any of those Vision director's cut issues? Well, it's like reading the Vision, Tom King, it seems like Tom King is like really particular. The way that stuff is laid out in that and the way that things like play back into it, I imagined that his scripts must be like Alan Moore scripts or something, or like Grant Morrison scripts.
Yeah, if there's a prop you need to pull back, you got to make sure it's an earlier issue.
But even some of the stuff where it's just like the way things are framed, I was expecting the scripts to be like really dense.
Mm-hmm. I think the last issue of the director's cut
came out this week. Yeah. And I expected the scripts to be just really dense. And looking at those director's cuts, it's like, also, director's cut is like such an obnoxious thing to call this. There's no director. I hope that the mic is picking up as the school buses go by and my stomach is growling. That's those noises, just in case you're wondering. It's up to you, dear listener, to figure out which was which, though. I just expected them to be so dense, and they would be like, panel one, Viv flies off. Panel two, you know. Viv waves at a friend, you know, whatever. Like, and it was just not, it was not nearly, I mean, it wasn't quite that simple. It wasn't like,
right.
But I was just really surprised that they weren't more, that they weren't sort of more in detail. And I was like, oh, wow, he really gave that guy whose name we had to look up.
Gabriel Hardman?
No, that's a different guy. Walta is the last
name. Oh, yeah, Walta.
But he's got a middle name.
Who's Gabriel Hardman?
Also an artist.
Okay. But not, you're right. It's something Walter with an H. And
yeah. Well, anyway, we all know who we're talking about. But yeah, I was like, he really gave him a lot more sort of rein to kind of just do whatever he wanted with it. And I was surprised because it all just seems so very specific. So yeah, I don't know. Sometimes it's fun, but then also sometimes it's like terrifying.
When I think of artists that do it really well, I think of Adrian Alfona. Like just packing fun stuff into the backgrounds of Runaways and Miss Marvel, just on a magazine stack, just made up magazine titles that are laugh out loud
fun. You know what I call that?
Waste of time.
A waste of time. Just draw the thing that's important and get a move on with the story. No, it's funny. Like I love artists that do crazy detailed stuff, but then also like sometimes I see artists who just go like, yeah, let's just draw the important thing here. And I'm like, I think that sometimes it's like harder to just try to let the thing that's important stand as its own thing. Because if you put a ton of detail and you got a lot of stuff going on, it's like the reader's eye can be distracted mm-hmm. by how much is going on to the point where they're just like, well, this looks impressive. It's like having so much going on can like hide your weaknesses or mistakes or whatever. Sometimes
you mess up the flow of the pace too. If you're going to spend an extra couple minutes just looking at little details, I like it. So maybe he's doing it for me.
It goes both ways. I mean, there's people who it's like they're not doing it because it is covering. They're not doing it to take. Putting a lot of detail is not a shortcut mm-hmm. for some artists. You know, there's some artists who I think put like a ton of detail into stuff, and I feel like it's a crutch. Like the way they draw would look weird if it didn't have all of that stuff sometimes. But then there are other people who,
like the main figures, couldn't stand on their own.
Or maybe they would just, I don't want to name any names here, but there's some people who can do, who will do like really detailed backgrounds and you're like, man, that's a lot going on. That really puts me smack dab. You know exactly where this mm-hmm. is taking place. What's going on? You know, the whole thing going on around it. And then there's people who, but it's like you go, if it was just the action or if it was just the important stuff, would this look as neat? Would the people or robots or whatever?
We talked about that Venom panel a while back that the ground was needlessly.
But that was super stylized. So it wasn't like, there was a ton of detail, but there wasn't like, it was crazy stylized. You know, it didn't look like you could go, oh, I know exactly what street in New York that is. Mm-hmm. That looks just like it. Like the difference between, like, but it was a ton of detail, but it was all serving the purpose he was trying to get across. Now, whether or not it was a waste of time to, you know, or unnecessary, I mean,
For you to decide.
Yeah, that's for the reader to decide individually. And I, you know, calling it a waste of time is joking. Because it's not that it's a waste of time, but it's, I don't know. It's maybe not the best use of time when you're a super talented artist. But there's people who where it's like you go, if all of this other stuff was stripped out, would the characters just being there, would that convey enough of what's going on? Would mm-hmm. it still look as, would it have that same like kind of punch to it? And I think there are some people that it's yes and some people that it's no, and any hoodles. So I'm sure, I know that like a lot of artists love having a chance from a writer. Maybe it was different for me too, because I was like so used to working with just the same person.
Right.
Where it's like, I don't know. You know, and also like my experiences are probably not very indicative of most people who have done comics experiences. Or maybe it is. I don't know. Let's stop talking about it. Let's stop talking about my stuff. So since the last time we did this, it was Halloween.
Yeah.
You had a very fun family comic inspired, the whole family comic inspired costumes, basically. Well, not the whole family. I only saw pictures of.
Yeah. One of my kids wanted to get in on it. Probably back in September, my wife and daughter decided they wanted to be Squirrel Girl and Tippy Toe. My other daughter and son want to do their
own
thing.
Now, who decided what in that combination? Because if your daughter was like, oh, I want to be Tippy Toe, so then your wife is like, oh, okay, well, then I can be Squirrel Girl. That seems fun. But if your wife was like, I want to be Squirrel Girl, you have to be Tippy Toe.
No, I think she wanted to be the squirrel. She liked that idea. And I don't remember chicken or egg who decided to be what first, but I know around the same time I heard them saying they're going to be Squirrel Girl and Tippy Toe and Cadence. My daughter was psyched about being a squirrel. They're talking about that. I really like that part of Halloween, the dressing up in costumes. It seems like it's the culturally appropriate time of the year to just make a ridiculous costume.
Unless you're, you know, into doing cosplay stuff.
Yeah, there are people that that's their year-round thing, or they do. But for me, like, that's the time that can really go all out on that. And I love, you know, doing superheroes or comic-related stuff. So when they said they're going to be that, I was trying to think. You know, of course, there's a big cast of characters in the Squirrel Girl. You've got Koi Boy and Chipmunk Hunk. But that seemed too safe.
Like, so how can I think outside the bun?
So I decided I was going to be Brain Drain and spent first couple weeks of October thinking I'm going to make this costume, visiting dollar stores, hobby stores to get the things to put it together. But yeah, eventually it came together. And yeah, so my wife was Squirrel Girl, daughter was Tippy Toe, and I was Brain Drain. And we did like a trunk or treat thing and decorated our car like a little tree clubhouse, with just branches from the yard and some signs, and gave away candy. And in this costume, I couldn't see anything at all.
That was the thing I kept meaning to ask you about, is because I saw like the video of you and I saw the picture. In just the pictures, I didn't think about it because I was just like, oh, that looks cool. But then when I saw that video that Jackie posted of her talking to you while you were in that costume, and I was like, wait a minute. How is he seeing what's going on? Because it looked like you just had like basically like a pullover zipped up over your face.
Which that's exactly it. So I could not see at all. I couldn't see anything at all. And so as kids would walk up, Jackie would kind of whisper to me, you've got Iron Man walking up. And I'm, hi, Iron Man. Yeah. And I tried to do a little bit of a robot voice too. And, but then the kids were like, how does he know? And the parents would be like, how does he? But that was our trick.
You shouldn't have given it away.
Yeah, well, I'm not a licensed magician. but yeah, so that was fun.
Unlicensed.
I couldn't see. I made like little robot hands and had the little jar on my head with the brain and eyeballs in it. The eyeballs were just those little ping pong balls with eyes.
It looked great. It was like it all turned out great. It's like simple stuff, but it worked really well. If you guys didn't see when I was retweeting the pictures, or if you didn't see when Matt was tweeting them to begin with, I'll put one of them in the show notes anyway, because. Also, it's like it did not even occur to me until someone said it on Twitter, where they were like, that also your last name actually is Drain.
Yeah. Well, just earlier today, the colorist for Squirrel Girl posted something about that. I don't know what he was looking at that it came up, but it was when I was just posting some random pictures as I was putting the costume together.
Right.
And he had shared something about, man, I wish this guy's first name was Brian. So it could be Brian Drain.
Oh, that'd be so great.
Yeah.
What's your middle name?
Scott.
Oh man, so close. So close.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You did it. You also did a superhero
theme. I did the first really like trying to put a ton of effort into I would call this not just having a costume. Like, this was on like a cosplay level, the amount of effort and that I put into it. I don't know why, like, I just got an itch to do. I think it was just that I found some of the stuff online. Once I started finding pieces of the costume online, and I don't mean like, oh, someone has made
found things that could become the pieces of the costume.
So I did the Peter's homemade Spider-Man costume from Spider-Man Homecoming. And I think I heard something that it was basically like the way that they... A lot of the stuff that the way they designed that suit was that they wanted to make it out of stuff that was sort of like the kind of things that he really could, that it looks like real world clothes, right? And stuff that he has like messed around with to try to make a costume. They wanted it to look like something a kid had put together himself, which meant it's easy for, or easier for an adult like me to try to then hunt down individual things, stuff that works for it. And I had to get crafty and figure out how to do some of the stuff, and it just turned out really great. So, like, everyone in the world
was wow.
I checked with every single person. People were like actively coming and saying things to me, and just like it was a real good feeling, which kind of makes me get why people can get so into doing cosplay stuff.
Yeah.
It's like a real cool feeling to have someone just go like, oh, you are this person I like now. Like, you look exactly like whatever.
Especially, full mask kind of thing. You embody them. You become them.
It's crazy how, like, it's like freeing a little bit, because I was, like, embarrassed a little bit in the car as we were going to this Halloween party that we were going to. I was like, at first I was like kind of like a little nervous, because I was like, you know, I hope I don't look goofy, or I hope, like, oh, what if we get there and, like, no one else is dressed up, or, like, it's, you know. And I just was, you know, I was kind of nervous about it. And I was like, oh, it won't matter if I'm nervous. Or it won't, no one will know who I am. So it's like, who cares? I can just,
yeah.
And it was like, oh, that weight just jumps right off of you then. It's like, oh, no wonder Spider-Man is able to be so freewheeling when he's in costume, you know, be so quippy, because it's like, yeah, nobody knows it's me. I can be whoever I want. I can be Spider-Man.
The freedom of anonymity.
Yeah. Which, thanks for ruining that, internet. But in a Spider-Man costume, it's a way more positive experience. Yeah. People are like, it was just neat to see how people, like, respond to you when they're like, oh, Spider-Man, you know, whatever.
Not guy dressed as Spider-Man. Yes, you are Spider-Man.
People just call you Spider-Man. you know, so it's especially, and that was the thing, like you said, I mean, I think that really does play into it when you've got, like, a full mask on and people can just kind of read whatever they want into it. But I also realized that, like, I'm like a really facially expressive person in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that so much of how I interact with people is, like, the faces I make to respond to what they're saying. And I would keep going, like, oh, okay. You know, and, like having responses, talking to people. And I was like, they have no idea what I'm doing under here. And it's like, so to them, it just looks like blank face looking at them. And
so you got to emote more with your body
language. Yeah, I was really having to put more. And I just realized, like, oh, this is making me sort of completely change how I interact with people so they get what I'm doing. And it was just a real fun experience having that get up on all night. To the point where, like, somebody was like, there were some things I could have made a little better if I'd had more time, or I could have, like, tried to get professionally made versions of, you know, some right. of the stuff. But, like, to the point where, but someone was like, this is, you could go do this. You could just, like,
quit your life and be a Spider-Man. Well,
not be Spider-Man, but, like, they were like, you know. If they were like, you, this totally seems like the kind of thing where it's like, you've got this put together enough where if you did, you could do like if you wanted to show up to, like, birthday parties or something, he's like,
yeah,
people would pay you to come and be like, oh, look, Spider-Man's here. But it's funny too, because it's like an intentionally sort of janky version of a costume. So anyway, it was a lot of fun. Halloween was a lot of fun. And I'm sad that I didn't get to hang it. That would have been a good combo of pictures. Of Squirrel Girl, we'll cut that out. People and then Spider-Man, I would have loved to get to do that. But now I'm, like, thinking about, like, how can I tweak this costume to be, how can I get it better? How can I, but I, for what reasons, I don't know.
Speaking of better and, like, professional level, there was at least one other guy that did Brain Drain, and I saw that on Twitter, and his was incredibly detailed. Like, he went to the next level, and I think he could see. I was looking at how his costume was, and
yeah, I think I saw some of those pictures. He had, like, video monitors, and, like, he had actually made cybernetic eyeballs, and
it was insane. And yeah, made mine look like dollar store Brain Drain, which it was, but hey, that's all good.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what you did. It's you yeah. were creative with, you know.
Yeah, but yeah. Halloween is a blast. Kids got a lot of candy that I'm now, you know,
working your way through.
Yeah, that's it. That's the game, is seeing how little of it you can eat without them noticing. Which they've got so much is quite a bit.
So we didn't have many trick or treaters in this neighborhood, and also it's like right when there were starting to be some trick or treaters, it started raining.
It was rainy that night.
Yeah, which was a bummer, because it was like, it's like we had been so worried about trying to, like, figure out our costumes and stuff for doing, you know, like, Halloween stuff, that we were like, oh no, there's Halloween is happening. Kids are going to come. And, like, we saw some, like, kids coming from, like, down the street, and we were like, oh no, we don't have any candy. Oh no. They might try to come here. Oh no. And we were, like, running around the house in a panic as these kids were, like, slowly coming up the driveway.
Trying to find candy.
Yeah. There was nothing we could give them. Like, not even food wise. We were just like, hey kids, you want a can of chicken noodle soup? Like, you want a can of beans? You want this frozen pizza? It was like, we were all of a sudden just in a panic, like, literally running around the house trying to find something we could give them. And then, like, they were almost to the door. And also, our dog Dipper was up, and he's like, someone coming to the door? Oh, no, I don't think so. And so all of a sudden, he's like barking like crazy. And I was like, oh, I got to get him. I don't want him to be all worked up barking at these kids. And I also don't want the kids to be freaked out. So I was like, grabbed a hold of him and was like, all right, come on, we're going to hide back here while these trick-or-treaters come. But then like right before they get to the door, April yells at me. She's like, have you got any singles? Like, we're just going to give them cash. And I was like, well, I don't, so it doesn't matter. But I was like, that would be kind of weird. I mean, not that the kids wouldn't probably
be all for that.
They'd be so excited. But then April was like, they came to the door and they were like super cute in their costumes. And April was just beside herself with how cute they were. And she's wanting to trying to talk to them. And she was saying like, oh, who are you? You know, whatever, you know, doing that thing like you do with kids in their costumes. And one of them was talking to her, but then she's like, I'm sorry, we don't have any candy right now. One of the kids kept talking, but one of them just turned around and was like back to his parents who were like waiting at the street, like, they don't have any candy. and then they just left. And then April was like, oh my gosh, all right.
They're going to egg your house.
No, they were little kids. She's like, we've got to figure something out. And I was like, okay. And I was like, and I found like a bunch of comics that I was like, I don't care about these comics.
Right.
Just single issues. I mean, and I went through them and I was like, I pulled out all the stuff that I thought would be like age appropriate for young readers. And it was like, this is all stuff that I either have in trades or digitally or something now. And it's like, I just want to have something to give these kids, especially since it seemed like, once again, this is a big year for superheroes in Halloween costumes. So I was like, yeah, I'll have some comic. And I had like a stack of comics right by the door. And she's like, I'm going to run to Kroger and get some candy. If any more kids come, you give them the comics. Yeah. And I was like, okay, this will be great. No, as soon as she left to go get the candy, it starts raining. No more kids. So that I was like, oh, after I went through all these comics and I was just like excited. I was like, oh, I wanted to see what kids' reactions would be to comics.
Yeah, I saw some other people giving out comics too. And I wondered the same thing. Like, is that something they'd get real excited about? Or
they'd be like, ugh, I can't eat this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm curious to know how that would have turned out, but I didn't get to find out. But you went to Halloween Comic Fest. Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I went to Comics and Collectibles. We went in costume to that. And again, I can't see in my costume. So they had someone kind of guide me into the door. And then I did a bit and my head fell off on accident because it wasn't really attached that securely. But it was fun. And they did have some free comics. And goodness, I'm trying to remember what we picked up. There's a few of them that were really, that read to the kids later and they really enjoyed them. Aspen did a choose your own adventure kind of thing that one of my daughters really liked. There was another one that was like kids at camp and there's a haunted house thing. And yeah. And then Marvel and DC had stuff out there too. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. So anyway, I wanted to bring that up though, since we did both have such comic related costumes. But what we really came here to talk about today is comic books that we were not dressed up as. So, first things first, we have been looking forward to this for quite a while. New issue of Captain America. First one by Mark Waid and Chris Samnee. Have you read it yet?
I've not read it. I've got it.
Oh, well, shoot. There goes the whole episode. It was like my whole plan was to talk about that. Son of a gun. Well, never mind. Goodbye, folks.
I thought we were talking about other big comic book
games. No, we were talking about some other stuff. I just assumed you had like you would have put that straight to the top of the.
No, it is. It is a top of a pile. It's at the top. Well, yeah,
it's at the top of the Captain America pile.
Yeah, exactly. No, I'd been reading Metal and all of its tie-ins.
That was one of the other things I was like, we can talk about. But yeah, I was just for sure that Captain America was going to be right at the top of your list.
I flipped through it. Just to kind of like, yeah, check out the art and stuff, but I didn't just like, yeah, sit down and read it.
Well, I guess we'll save that for next time. Oh, hey, you know, another thing, what we said we were going to talk about today was, on Twitter, we're going to talk about the big news that dropped all of a sudden out of nowhere that Brian Michael Bendis is now DC exclusive after like 20 years at Marvel. Wow.
It's huge.
It's a huge deal. It's like a really, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, I am not the biggest Bendis fan. I know that I have friends who are like, Joe Martini especially is a huge Bendis fan. And of course, when that news broke, he was like texting me about it. And so, just like, man, did you see about this? And, you know, we've been talking about it. And you and I started talking about it some on Twitter. I don't know what on earth I would like him to do at DC. It's cool. He's, it's a big name. But I feel like the way that a lot of his approach to comics feels sort of like, I don't know how it fits in with what it seems like DC has been doing lately. And, even though they're both big names and they both like come up around the same time, became big name. I feel like he and Geoff Johns's universe styles do not mesh at all.
Yeah.
And not like there's not room for lots of different voices. And, characters are different all over these universes. So it's like, I'm sure there's room for him. But I'm like, the DC universe feels so fundamentally different than the Marvel universe.
It's hard to picture even what he'd sound like on a DC.
What book. He would sound like on a DC. It's like, besides, you'd say something like, oh, well, he'd do something like Batman. And it's like, but where Batman is right now seems so not that.
Yeah.
But I mean, maybe he's more versatile than we're giving him credit for. And it's just, he's been writing these same kinds of things because he's been working with the same characters for so long.
Right.
And it's like, that's just what these characters sound like to him. But, there's also that, my mind immediately flashes to that panel or that like double page thing. I can't remember. Maybe it was single page. Maybe it was double page. Anyway, this is like a grid of a bunch of characters talking that Bendis had written. And it was like a bunch of Avengers all having like different things. And then someone had switched the word bubbles and all
didn't
around.
Make any difference.
Didn't make any difference. Yeah. No one sounded, they all sound like Brian Michael Bendis. None of them sound like individual. No one really had any flavor of their own.
Yeah. I definitely had a similar, seeing the news where I felt, man, this is really huge news. I also cannot think of like I'm curious to see. I'm definitely curious what book he's going to do, but I can't think of what book he'd be best for. And that's kind of what we were talking about is like, man, I can kind of see him on this book, kind of see him on that book. And then I really just started to think of like, what books are available? What are they probably going to put him on? And Bendis, he's hit and miss with me. I mean, there's some stuff of his that I absolutely love. It's up there with some of my favorite comics, and then some stuff.
What's the stuff you really like?
His run on Daredevil is it's pretty, pretty amazing. Certainly, Ultimate Spider-Man. He did something really special with that book.
Are you worried? This is one of the first things that kind of like shot through my mind too, was being worried about what's going to happen to his characters. The characters that were clearly
what
like
happens
his,
to Miles, what happens to Jessica
characters
Jones,
that he like really Riri. Fought for. He had a personal stake in some of these characters. I don't mean just the ones that he created, but certainly those as well.
But characters like Luke Cage that he brought back to the forefront.
And it's like, I'm sure they're going to keep doing stuff with Luke Cage, but like Jessica Jones wouldn't exist as she does now without him. I think about that, but like, especially like Miles and Riri. Is that how you pronounce it?
Riri. Yeah, I don't know how else you would say it other than Riri. It wouldn't be Rai. So.
Yeah, I guess it's got to be Riri. But this is the first time I've ever tried to say it out loud. And I was like, wait a minute. Is that right? Am I an idiot?
I think a cool opportunity for Miles and Riri specifically would be to get like an actual person of color to be able to write those books. That would be neat.
Yeah.
Have a female writer on the Jessica Jones. That could be.
Yeah.
That could be cool. I guess I didn't think as much about where does that leave Marvel as much as
it was just you DC. Were just thinking about what does DC do? What's it gonna happen?
In fact, in my daydream scenario, I guess Marvel was totally vacated and everyone left for DC.
Well, that was the thing. When you said that thing on Twitter about the something about, you were kind of like
imagining everybody coming over.
Yeah, you were like fan casting. I didn't realize at first that you were imagining those people had left. And I was like, wait, all these people just left too? I was like, I was then trying to like find news about when did they... and then I realized you were like, oh, wait, this is imaginary.
It was a joke.
Yeah.
I mean, Hickman's already gone, and there's been...
Well, you know, I was going to ask you if you saw the scuttlebutt about that. There's a lot of like...
He's been trolling for a while that he might do Legion of Superheroes, and then he recently deleted his whole Twitter feed except for this one tweet that said, I wish I had a time machine. Just very...
And which is a very cryptic thing to do. But, you know, there was... sometimes I'm like, do we want to get into some of like rumors and like gossip about some of this stuff? I guess it's more rumors than gossip, but supposedly the rumor is that he has been talking to DC for like a really long time, because while he's been doing all this creator-owned stuff since he left Marvel after Secret Wars, and he's it's basically like they've been trying to go like, how can we make something work? And the reason it's taken so long is because he's really been trying to figure out what he wants to do, and he is a notorious planner,
right?
Where he... How many years was all of that? Did all that stuff play out where he was doing Fantastic Four and S.H.I.E.L.D. and then...
And it all reads like one long story. If you put his very first book at Marvel to the very last could be one story.
You could just read it. And it's like, so it makes sense that he wouldn't just sign on and be like, yeah, I'll just jump on whatever. He seems like someone who really wants to...
And if they gave him Legion of Superheroes, it would be totally his to do with whatever.
Yeah.
Probably long term.
Whatever you want. But... I don't think that's like enough of an impact for him. Also, I'd be afraid they would have somebody like Jim Lee drawing it or something.
Well, just the first six issues.
Yeah, the first three issues or something.
Three half issues. That's what they did. Suicide Squad.
Let's split it up. Supposedly they have every time that happens, it cracks me up. Matt's trying to put his water down on this coaster so quietly. He's like trying to... Anyway, with him being such a planner, supposedly they have put an offer out to him and he hasn't... This is the rumors, is that he hasn't accepted it yet, but he's got stuff planned if he does. But supposedly part of the thing of him wanting to possibly do, you know, like Brian Michael Bendis was the guy that helped sort of bring him from... indie stuff to Marvel.
It brought him in on Secret Warriors.
Was that what it was?
I'm pretty sure.
So it's like, you think about something like that, and it's like, oh, all of a sudden, Brian Michael Bendis is over here. It's like, oh, that's like a whole other little...
Would they play together, maybe, and do something?
So, who knows? Man, I don't know. I would certainly be more excited about Hickman doing something, because I'm like, I'm a little more curious to see what you would do in this world. And he's done like such a... His stuff feels so different. Like the stuff that he does, that he's been doing lately, like for Image and stuff, feels so different from his Marvel stuff that it's like, I would be way more curious. But who knows? Maybe Brian Michael Bendis has got something like crazy up his sleeve.
So my thoughts on
you know what the thing of his that I've liked the most I can think of like off the top of my head in the last... in the last, you know, however long, maybe like 5 years, 10 years, I don't know, was that Moon Knight series he did.
Alex Maleev?
Yeah. You know, a totally different take on Moon Knight, where he's sort of like... the hook on that one was that basically he's got all the other Avengers in his head.
Right.
But it's fun. You know, it's not sad. It's not like sad where he's like, oh, this guy's really got mental problems. That really turned out good. I was surprised that more people kind of didn't like catch on to it. But of course, I didn't read it until way after the fact. So
I think his solo books are his stronger books. But he is known for being on these big team books like the Avengers, the X-Men, Guardians of the Galaxy, but I feel like those are some of the weaker... So Avengers, man, there's some great moments in his Avengers run for sure. I wasn't as crazy about his X-Men run, and I really didn't care for his Guardians of the Galaxy run.
It's like, oh, wait, no. Let me take that. I started to be like, what X-Men did he do?
He brought the teen X-Men back.
I just remember, I was like, oh, that's like been one of my... his X-Men run on All New X-Men and Uncanny...
Stuart Immonen doesn't help or doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. But I was, that's like literally like some of my favorite X-Men stuff of, you know, ever. That I'm, I mean, I'm like a big X-Men guy. What is wrong with me today? Man, I'm just feeling.
I'm a giant X-Man.
Yeah. I'm a. no, I was like, as that was coming out every, you know, every week, it was like, can't wait to see what's going on with the X-Men this week, basically. Yeah.
It looked great. Some of the stories were good. Some of the stories were kind of empty to me, but
that's fair. I thought like Battle of the Atom was great.
Yeah.
I was like, this is like a perfect, awesome X-Men thing. You could kind of, well, maybe not just give to anybody, but it's like, this is a great example of like what all the X-Men can do, what all you can do with the X-Men. Cause it's got time travel and this and that. And like, you know, a bunch of stuff going on, but it's still got like, oh, Plight of the Mutants and oh, there's romance and drama and you know, or melodrama and a huge cast of characters. And I did feel like he had a better handle on making the X-Men sort of seem more like individuals, unlike how it sometimes seemed in the Avengers.
Right.
Hmm.
So because of his track record with those big team books, it makes me feel like they're probably going to give him Justice League or something like that, especially because, Hitch's run on Justice League has ended, but I heard they're giving it to somebody else already, though. So, because some people were saying that it wouldn't be Christopher Priest, maybe, has already been offered Justice League, and that, I mean, that he may just do a few. He may not be doing a big long run or anything, but so maybe that book's not as available as I'd originally thought. Suicide Squad, I feel like would lend to his sensibilities really well. He could definitely give it that Dark Avengers feel. That was a book of his that I thought was really well done. Dark Avengers.
Yeah.
Norman Osborn's Avengers team. But also, I don't know, is that enough for him? Like, he's probably going to do...
I feel like he's probably going to be doing a handful of books. I guess Suicide Squad would probably... That fits. But, I mean, maybe that's part of the point, is that he wants to come to DC and do something completely different. Which I would be into... The thing that I just think about, it's like, I do not feel like John Romita Jr. has been a good fit at DC.
No.
He hasn't done anything that has, like, done anything for me. It doesn't feel... It's just... none of it feels like he's really, like, that into it. It just feels kind of like he's, you know, knocking it out. What's the other one? Oh, do you remember back, like, during... like after 52, when they, and I guess it was after Countdown, when they did, what was it? Trinity, that like weekly book Trinity,
yeah,
where Mark Bagley came to DC exclusive for a little bit.
Kurt Busiek and
yeah.
Mark Bagley.
And it was like, oh, we're going to have Mark.
He's Bagley. The only human being who could draw a weekly book.
Yeah. But it was like, it was just a big who cares.
Yeah. That was disappointing.
It was like super disappointing. And it was like, you know, it was a big deal that he was coming to DC, but then they didn't. And I'm not like a big fan of his, but he is like a very, you know, he's like a really solid, popular artist who had been at Marvel for like his whole career, basically, you know, or the majority of his career. And
Mark Bagley on Nightwing.
Yeah, that would have been a good fit.
Yeah, but yeah,
it's also. It was just such a, I was like, it came and went, and like, he never really did anything. He did like a little bit of Justice League in there somewhere, I think. But
with James Robinson.
Yeah. It was just like nothing that people talked about really. I don't think this is going to be like that, but that was like sort of, especially with the two of them having done Ultimate Spider-Man for so long, I got that same kind of feel. But when Mark Bagley went back to Marvel, I was like, yeah, this
suits him better.
It suits him. For some reason, these characters, like this world seems to, like his art fits better for it. And you just, sometimes you go like, man, maybe some of these guys who have been with these companies for so long, it's like a cool get when they do switch over. But then you realize like, it's not the best fit.
Yeah. It's almost like actors getting typecast for certain roles and you see them in a totally different role, and if you've only ever seen them as a villain or only ever seen them as a romantic type thing, it's just hard for you to buy it, and your brain can't disconnected enough, and and art styles can come off that way too.
Yeah, and writing styles, and I'm so it's certainly newsworthy. I'm very curious about what's going to happen with it.
I feel like he doesn't come over unless it's something big. Like he's not coming out like as well as he does with lower tiered characters and making them shine and showing us why they're great and doing this. I don't think he comes to DC to pick some D-lister and do a solo book, and that's his only thing. I think he's got to be coming for something.
He is definitely going to be doing, I would say he's going to be doing like at least three books. Mm-hmm. But, you know, saying that, also it's, I'm thinking like, okay, so let's think about that right now. What could he do? Let's think about what he could possibly do or what we'd like to see him do. Let's see if we can come up with something. Take like, we'll say there's three books. There's a big name single book, a team book,
and a solo book,
and a D-lister book. Let's start from the D-listers. Who's a D-list character at DC you think I wouldn't mind seeing what his take on this would be?
Silence.
Yeah. What follows? We've edited out 2 hours of silence.
And Jeopardy music.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's hard for me to even think he would do like a true D-lister. I picture him someone that's like a Justice League character. I mean, not like the Big Seven, but someone that would have been on the Justice League, but maybe has never really carried their own book before. Yeah.
Somebody like, has never carried their own book
before? Okay, is not currently, or in recent memory, carried a book.
When you said that, the first person that kind of like popped in my mind was Booster Gold. And then I was kind of trying to imagine what a Bendis-written Booster Gold would seem like.
Zatanna?
Oh, yeah, there's people that are already saying he's definitely going to do Zatanna.
Yeah. And I think, just because his track record with female characters, people saying Batgirl, Birds of Prey, that kind of thing. But I'd almost, I mean, nowadays, there's also a big push to have actual female writers on those characters, and that'd be better. So put him on somebody else. But
What about Blue Devil?
Yeah, that'd be different. Blue Devil, Blue Beetle.
He's already done Daredevil, who is Red Devil. So he can just take a bunch of his... If he just takes a bunch of his Daredevil scripts...
Bendis and Maleev on Blue Devil.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that'd be pretty sweet.
That would actually... Yeah, I'd be kind of interested in that. Yeah, he could just take his Daredevil scripts and do like a word replace with Dare and switch it to Blue. Be like, all right, here you go. 2 years worth of Blue Devil. Like, wow, you really wrote these quick. Yeah, who's this Matt guy? hold on. Let me have that back. man.
But I'm thinking like, he's not it's tough for me to classify people as D-lister, but just hasn't.
Well, who are some characters kind of going through your mind?
So I thought if he did want to do a Batman family type thing, if they gave Duke Thomas his own book.
Which they are, I think.
And I don't know if they've actually decided on a name for him. They've called him The Signal, but I've not seen
that's
him
his totally name. That's the embrace. Well, his book that was supposed to come out got pushed back until.
And it was going to be called The Signal?
Uh huh.
Well, I guess someone else doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe they pushed it back because this was like in the works and there's going to be some changes. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't remember who's supposed to be writing that book, though, now that I'm thinking about it. I'm trying to think of like, but like Duke Thomas is like such a new.
He wouldn't probably just be able to run with him because I'm sure Scott Snyder's got plans for him.
Got plans for him. It also seemed like maybe a little bit. Oh,
this is the Miles Morales of current DC. I think that's why my brain went there.
I'm trying to think of somebody that's like more just like completely no one's doing or has done anything with the character in a while. Like somebody that's like, you know, I guess I'm trying to think of more like somebody like Jessica Jones, a character that's like really who can we pluck out of obscurity and kind of make relevant?
Just Dead Man.
A new Dead Man book just came out.
Is there a John Constantine book right now?
Maybe. I think so. I think Dead Man would be kind of interesting, though. Like, his take on that would probably be also with Alex Maleev. In all of these books, I'm kind of picturing him doing the art for it anytime I think of it. I had a good one. I feel like it was like at least an interesting kind of like character. Like, yeah, well, there definitely no one's doing anything with him. And all I can think about is Dead Man now. I'm not saying that's your fault now. I'm just like really trying to picture sort of like what that would look like. This is tough. I can't think of any big name character I think he's a good fit for. And I thought...
What about not D-list solo title?
Like who?
Like The Flash.
No.
Or Green Lantern.
No. I can't imagine. Maybe it's a lack of... maybe I'm having a...
Because The Flash could get all that dialogue out really quickly.
Man. This is surprisingly hard. I think Suicide Squad is the best idea I've heard. Yeah.
So another idea I had, because I was also trying to think in terms of not taking a book away from a current team, like what's not being used. Rebirth teased the return of the Justice Society, that Rebirth one shot, but then we've not really had anything in that. But if he got the whole Justice Society to play with, and those characters, I can't picture him writing that.
Yeah, that's
Geoff
the problem.
Johns is so, his voice is so on imprinted on all those characters for me now after so many years. But that's a whole franchise of characters. That's a whole stable of characters that he could really kind of run.
And that would definitely, man, if you want to do something that's going to move the needle as far as like selling that book, if the first thing Brian Michael Bendis does for DC is a new big relaunch of the JSA, and they have like a good, like a, you know, a good dependable artist on it. That would certainly get people to pay attention to that book in a way that just having someone like Geoff Johns writing it would not do. Right. It's like, this would really get a lot of attention if it was like Bendis's first big thing for DC. Man, I kind of keep coming back to Booster Gold now. I'm like, I feel like I could maybe see how that might go. He's written stuff like that Moon Knight series was like about a guy in Hollywood. You know, there's like that aspect to it. And like Booster Gold has always seemed like he's kind of like a celebrity superhero.
Right. You could have a Blue Beetle Booster Gold team up book.
Yeah.
You could do the Atom.
Well, and also what's going on with Blue Beetle right now in Rebirth?
I have no idea.
Okay. I think that, I mean, it's still Jaime.
Yes.
But
that Rebirth issue did have a tease, like Ted Kord's out there
somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, they're probably going to have Bendis do like a Rorschach book or something.
So, yeah, that's the other thing I thought with all the Watchmen stuff bleeding over, a Rorschach book. Like, I don't know that it'd be any good, but I can see them saying, Bendis Maleev, Rorschach.
Yeah, I can see that. That makes me...
It's kind of like back when they were doing Before Watchmen and some of the pairings, like, this person would be ideal for this book. And
yeah.
I could see, the character I would see him with.
And it was such a bummer with that Before Watchmen thing, because I was like... It's not that they're necessarily bad. It's just like, this is so unnecessary.
Yeah, like, yes, I mean, Darwin Cook and stuff doing
he did
great
the Minutemen
work.
One, and I was like, it was perfectly enjoyable read. You know, I love getting to see his, you know, I loved getting to see his art no matter what. But I'm like, we don't need this. I guess we don't have any, we don't have any good answers for this. Yeah, I feel like I've completely like derailed my brain trying to think of this. What if they did something? They let him do something with like the fourth world.
Yeah, I mean,
man, talk about something I don't think is a good fit, but would be a huge, you know, sandbox for him to play in.
So the biggest two things like right now going on with the fourth world, obviously Miracle Man Tom King's Miracle Man.
You mean Mr. Miracle?
Yeah, Mr. Miracle Man. Boy. Kid Miracle Man, Mr. Oh, man, that was a slip there. Yes, Tom King's Mr. Miracle that we've, like, spent entire episodes of this show talking about.
Right. It's only, like, the fourth issue just came out, and we've already talked about it so much.
Yeah, so he's not just focusing on Mr. Miracle. It's involving a lot of those characters, so it is a fourth world book, and then you've got Baby Darkseid over in Metal playing some kind of role. We don't really know.
But also, I guess that would kind of, the fact that book is happening and there's also like Baby Darkseid going on, I guess really makes it clear that Mr. Miracle is not in like the normal continuity.
Mm-hmm. It's got to be its own thing.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, just because we talked about that one of the other times and I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, that, I guess that makes it pretty clear. But also, well, or maybe it is, and it's all in his head, and it's...
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, who knows? Spoiler, yeah, or conspiracy theories for what even is Mr. Miracle. Because, yeah, it doesn't, we talked about this before, it doesn't jive with where Geoff Johns left Scott and Barta at the end of his story. So,
yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, so he could do, I mean, there's certainly other stuff in the fourth world he could do. He could do a Jimmy Olsen Turtle Man book or Newsboy Legion.
Yeah. The Newsboy Legion, they're never going to make a comic of that again. But I could actually see him being a good fit for that. That is something that's like ground level enough, but where the characters are sort of supposed to be like personalities, where I'm like, I could actually see him doing that. That would be a good D-list group. It's a group, but... I think that could work, but they're never going to do that.
No. Yeah, I just feel like, I don't feel like they're going to put him on something like that. I feel like they're just going to give him some big powerhouse thing, at least to start. And then
the reason this is like, I feel like we're thinking so hard, or for me at least, it's thinking so hard about what to put him on that's a good fit is because I want this to matter. I don't want it to be like that Mark Bagley thing where it was just like a, who cares?
Yeah.
I want him, if you're going to bring him over, after you guys are like clearly moving, y'all are killing it right now, you know, financially at least. Success. DC's
doing really well right now.
DC is doing really well right now, and like they're having a lot of success. And it feels like their whole sort of, basically, it feels like their whole universe is kind of like reinvigorated. You know what would be awesome actually is if they did a book that is an actual Lois Lane book.
I've seen that mentioned. Yeah,
where
bring Lois Lane back.
Lois Lane
title.
And give her her own book where it's like, seriously, it's just about reporting stuff. And it's like her reporting in a world with superheroes, but that's superhero stuff.
Did you read The Pulse?
No.
He did Jessica Jones working alongside the reporters at the Daily Bugle.
Yeah, but it's like I know that...
Yeah, so I mean, he...
I didn't read it, but I knew that he...
It's good.
Yeah.
And that's proof of concept that a book like that can work.
Do, you know, or like relaunch... That's... Okay, so that's one that it's like, that's a good... That could be a really good fit, and I would actually like to read it, depending on who the artist is. I mean, I would still probably, no matter who it is, I'd probably give it a go, because it's like a Lois Lane number one I would want to...
Sure.
I would want to read.
Isn't she... Lois Lane, longest running female title, something still record holder, even though there's not been a book for years. Didn't she have like the longest running? Seems like I saw that somewhere.
Oh, you'd think Wonder Woman.
Yeah, you would think that.
But yeah, I don't know. If anybody knows, let us know.
Yeah. So I may have totally got that wrong. Because you're right. Wonder Woman just said this most recent issue was like issue the 700th of hers. So that means there would have been 700 issues of Lois Lane out there in the past, which can't be. So that can't be right.
Yeah.
But anyway, one of the longest running.
One of them. or like, you know, bring back like do a revival of Gotham Central.
Yeah.
Let him do something like real crime focused, puts him in the Batman world, but it doesn't have to be a straight up Batman book. This Lois Lane thing now is like going to be stuck in my craw.
I think it's definitely a possibility.
And I would just love to, like, let's have a Lois Lane comic.
I remember seeing an interview with them years ago because people always ask him, you know, what would you do? Because been in Marvel for, like you said, 17, 18 plus years, what would you do over at DC? And I remember him saying he had Superman ideas. And then it's like Superman is spoken for at the moment, but I don't know how long these guys' runs are planned for. I don't know if Dan Jurgens, you know, run is just planned up to issue 1,000, and that'll be the big end of what he's got, or he got if his plans.
Well, supposedly all the stuff that's going on with Superman right now was part of a long term plan that Geoff Johns had from back during the new 52.
Right.
Like all of this, all the stuff with Mr. Oz and like all these things, like they didn't necessarily, it all hasn't played out necessarily like he originally planned, you know, because of other things, right, other pieces that have moved around. But like all of this stuff is like all sort of supposedly, I mean, who knows for sure, except for the people involved, but supposedly it's all like, this has all been like a very long-term Geoff Johns plan.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. I feel like I just have no interest in a Bendis Superman. I don't know. Maybe I'm completely wrong, man. I mean, maybe he's got like a totally great take on,
who knows,
on Superman that I would totally be into. Who knows? Yeah. I feel good
about it. What if he brought Oliver Coypel? How do you say that last name?
Mm-hmm. Let's go with that. I think it's also Olivier, because there's two I's in it.
Not Oliver.
No.
That was just my brain.
Well, I always thought it was. Yeah. And then I saw it. Well, I was like, wait a minute. There's another I in that.
Olivier.
And he's clearly from somewhere in Europe,
okay,
I think.
He did the cover to today's Batman Lost, which looks great.
Yeah, that cover looks incredible. And
his Superman would be...
Oh, boy, so would it. But I don't want him...
And Bendis.
And Bendis. It's like... if that. I mean, I'll read it. I'll read whatever. I read comics that I don't like at all, you know, just to go like, oh, let's see. I'll give stuff a chance, man. And even if it was bad writing-wise, if he was drawing it, I would be... right there. But man, that Lois Lane thing is going to be really stuck in my head.
I think it's a good guess.
And then when it doesn't happen, I'm going to be mad at it.
Where's my Lois Lane book?
Where's this Lois Lane book? This is an easy slam dunk. Anyway.
So in that Superman family, Superwoman, Supergirl. Superwoman doesn't seem high profile enough for him. But you do have other characters there. Could bring Kal-El back.
Oh, yeah. What if they have him bring Superboy back? And then he's like really the, like, like doing another teenage character like Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah.
As Ultimate Superboy. Yeah, we know we've got that other Superboy, but now we've got Ultimate Super. It would be hilarious if they even called it that. They wouldn't.
They'd or the Duke that. Thomas book. It would be Duke Thomas, Ultimate Batman. Teen Titans?
No. I mean, not that he... No, well, I mean...
Or regular Titans. Just plain old Titans. And that's the new title.
Regular Titans. plain old Titans. Just the plain old Titans. No, he could do Teen Titans. I could see that, and it'd be okay. I just don't think they're going to, like, want to... Anything he does, I feel like they're going to... Unless it's, like, detective or action comics, something that's, like, got a huge number, they're not going to want to, like, restart anything.
No.
I don't think that they are going to want to, they're going to want his stuff to be a new number one, and Teen Titans, they're not going to want to like restart that. So
JSA, Lois Lane, new number ones.
Yeah. Zatanna.
I don't want to think about him on Legion of Superheroes because I want Hickman to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
And I can't really picture the Legion sitting around talking like Bendis characters.
Exactly. I mean, I can picture it. It's just not good.
Right.
It's not something I want to read. But who knows? Maybe he's going to come to... He's hearing all this. He's going to come to DC.
He's listening.
I don't mean listening to this, but I mean all the internet chatter.
Sure.
And he's going to come to DC and like suddenly everyone's going to just be talking like real terse. Real just Spartan sentences. Just everyone's like... silent issues he's going to have.
Yeah.
People like, whoa, he's really doing something different. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, this has been an interesting way. I know you've got to get going soon.
Do we have any?
We do have some Twitter questions.
I've got a little bit of time.
We'll go ahead and jump to real quick. At Brand Med asks, since it's November / amateur facial hair month, what superheroes do you think should have a beard? I thought Superman looked good with one in the Rebirth launch.
I agree. I don't know if he should always have one, but I really liked it when he did.
It was, yeah, it was a cool look when he had it with that. He's had beards in the past, though.
Greg Pak gave him a beard, too, right?
I can't remember. I was thinking more of like in the
animated series when he gets stranded in the...
Well, the comics that's based on.
Yeah.
It was the story I'm thinking of. Yeah, that was like in the late 80s, early 90s when they did that story where he was like stranded out somewhere and yeah, turned into like a gladiator looking guy. Who else? Who else would look good with a beard?
Hey, who wouldn't?
Who wouldn't look good with a beard? Hulk looked good. That was like kind of a cool look when he had that beard as the maestro, but you got it teamed up with that, how he is like bald head. It's like, well, it doesn't look quite as good.
Can't picture Flash with a beard because the streamlined is...
Yeah, because he's so streamlined. Look. But he's so fast with everything, you'd think he'd grow a beard real fast, too. Flash should have long hair. Or at least Wally should, since he's got that... The top of the mask is gone. Yeah. Got that hair. It should be flowing in the wind. I guess maybe Barry Allen's like a little too straight-laced to have long hair.
He doesn't seem like a beard guy.
Yeah.
Neither does Hal. I guess just kind of like that. Yeah, the Air Force military thing.
Yeah. Why doesn't Shazam have a beard?
He should, especially if he's going to be Shazam and not Captain Marvel. He needs to grow the wizard beard.
Yeah, exactly.
Aquaman's beard is pretty good.
What about if he just had Shazam just had a mustache? when he turns up, because the kid can't grow facial hair, so he's.
And that's
like,
the first thing every kid wants to do is grow facial hair.
Yeah. Every morning when a kid wakes up, the first thing they think of is, why can't I grow facial hair? Who else would be good with a beard? Yeah, Aquaman had a pretty righteous beard going for a while there. I guess he doesn't still have it. No, he does. He's back to having it now.
They want him to look
like the movie. Yeah.
But I think it works with him. The regal kingly gives him that vibe instead of the superhero.
Yeah.
Pure superhero vibe.
Yeah. I guess he's like their long-haired guy. You can't... That's why the Flash doesn't have long hair, even though it would look good with him running. Well, he's got that mask on. I guess you can't... Any of the guys with masks can't really have long hair.
Yeah, and beards. Like, if all that's showing is your chin, and then that's covered in hair.
Yeah.
So that makes it tough for Batman to have a big beard.
Yeah. People be like, I recognize that.
Or a goatee. He's got the full one. He's got the mustache or a goatee.
Oh, man. Oh, that was the thing, too, in that Spider-Man mask for Halloween. It's like, I didn't
shave. Obviously, didn't shave.
Yeah, I was going to get my hair cut, too, but I couldn't get in to get my hair cut. And then when I couldn't get my hair cut, I was like, well, I'm not going to bother shaving then either. And I felt like it really made a difference on that mask where it's like you could really tell where that there was like a beard pushing on it. And so... I think that you can't, yeah, you really can't have a character, like Spider-Man can't have a beard because you really notice it.
In the pictures of you, it didn't seem like a beard was bulging out.
Maybe it wasn't as obvious. I think if you're looking for it, though, you can tell. It was obvious to me, though. Anyway, man, yeah. Yeah, Superman looks pretty good with a beard, but it would be really weird since he hasn't had a beard his like entire career. History, it's like if all of a sudden Superman and Clark both suddenly have beards.
Yeah.
It might be
same as Batman.
A little too hard.
Bruce is growing a mustache and all of a sudden Batman has a mustache.
Yeah, that might be just a little too hard for people to overlook. So you need somebody that it doesn't have a secret identity or...
You can't have, like, Dick Grayson and Tim Drake can't grow beards because you can't have them looking older than Bruce.
Yeah, yeah. Man, it's tough. What about Ultron? Big robo beard. Just, I don't know.
Vision.
Yeah. I'm surprised Vision hasn't had a beard at some point or a mustache or something. Just trying to be...
A mustache.
Or hair. Just hair. Why hasn't he tried to like come up with hair yet? I guess Iron Man can't have a full crazy beard going on because might get caught up in the mask and all that electronics. It's tough.
Reed Richards looked good with a beard.
Yeah, he's done that.
He had a beard for a while in that in Secret Hickman's. Wars.
Oh, what were you saying?
Oh, in Hickman's Fantastic Four, right?
Yeah, all the same stuff.
Hmm. Can the Thing grow hair?
I don't think so, no.
You can't have, like...
A rocky beard would be pretty sweet, but I don't know that that's ever been shown or done.
You think that the Thing smells like anything? Does he sweat? How do his organs work? We're getting into a whole different thing here.
When Warren Ellis was doing Ultimate Fantastic Four, he did start to dig down on some of that stuff. Like, he's rock all the way down.
Of course he did.
Of course he did.
Of course Warren Ellis did.
Here's how Reed Richards, who has the most ridiculous powers ever, here's how this works biologically on a chemical level.
Yeah, but he did
that with Reed, with Johnny, and with the Thing. Yeah, the Thing, I guess, his organs are also rocky, like his skin is. Like, every part of him is rocky like that.
Does it heal? It was always so disturbing to me as a kid. Anytime you'd see the Thing get punched, like by the Hulk or something really hard, where like rock would come off, and I was just like, is that gonna heal up? Is he gonna be okay?
Well, they would have him getting the really bad fights, and there'd be chunks exposed. Like, he got in a fight with Wolverine, and for a few issues of
following. Oh, I remember there was a long time where he got clawed in the face by Wolverine.
He wore that metal helmet.
And he had that helmet on because his face was all... And
it looked like, yeah, fleshy underneath.
Ooh. Gross. Yeah, but do you think he smells like anything?
Smells like a wet stoner. I don't know.
It also sounded like you said a wet stoner. And I was like, well, then that would probably be terrible. Hmm.
It just smells like rocks.
What do rocks smell like? Does he have breath? Does he breathe? What? I have so many questions now about the Thing. I don't know.
Johnny can't have a beard because he'd burn it right off.
Burn it right off. But his hair doesn't burn off.
Well,
he's had a beard. I've seen him with a fiery beard before, I feel like.
A fiery beard would be awesome.
Yeah, what if he's got the fire beard going all the time?
He's always got a fiery beard.
I'm a Ghost Rider. Beard coming off of that skull.
A bearded skull.
I don't know. These are all silly answers. Godzilla with a huge beard. You can see that now.
Doesn't Fin Fang Foom kind of have a...
He's got something going on, maybe. Anyway, well, that's a pretty fun question anyway. At James D. Leach asks, what do you consider to be the most metal thing Batman has ever done? Well, he shot the ultimate incarnation of evil with a magic time bullet.
Yeah.
That then sent him also hurtling, then also as he was getting shot by the Omega Sanction, which is magic evil laser beams that sent him back to the dawn of history.
Yeah.
It's
pretty metal to make up a backup personality for yourself if you ever get...
Jeez,
your brain ever gets messed with. You can be the Batman of Zur-En-Ah.
Yeah. Holy cow. No kidding. I'm going to have a backup Batman back here in case. Jeepers creepers. How do you even think of that? Good on Grant Morrison. What a great guy. At writing comics. I don't know what he's like as a person, but... The first thing that comes to my mind is hard to get.
I mean, that's... Yeah, and to fight your way back from caveman times back to...
Land in caveman times and be like, well, I'll get out of this eventually. I'll Batman my way out of this eventually. Now I'm just thinking about him when he's like that Puritan pilgrim Batman, that buckle hat. That's still somehow so metal. Yeah. Man, we didn't get to talk about it at all. Maybe we'll save that for next time, too. But metal has just been such a fun...
Yeah. I've read every tie-in, every issue.
I'm a little behind on it, but...
It's exciting.
It's so exciting. It really is. It's so exciting that it makes me tired just thinking about it. Because it's like, oh, it's exhausting. It's so exciting.
We'll talk about it next time. It's bringing in elements that I was not expecting. Like, oh, I didn't know you were going to weave in all this stuff, particularly the Grant Morrison stuff.
I'm excited to see.
Like, you're bringing all this back? Like, I am so...
I'm there for it. Yeah. Well, this has been fun. I don't think we answered these questions totally very well, but this has been fun talking about it. I hope you guys had a good time listening. Matt, you want to tell people where they can find you online if they want to follow you?
Sure.
Stuff like that?
Yeah, on Twitter, it's XAMattDrain.
It's a good place to check out all of Matt's Inktober stuff, which was all Fantastic Four related. We barely talked about the Fantastic Four today, but... real quick. Are you excited about the possibility of Marvel buying or Disney buying that part of the part of Fox that has the movie rights to the Fantastic Four?
Yeah, and I know they said that those talks are dead, but that feels like we've already heard that with Sony and Spider-Man too. How many times was that dead and it still happened? So yeah. I bet they could force Will. Honestly, I don't even care if they get the X-Men. I just want them to get Fantastic Four.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. I mean, I would love to see the X-Men sort of done more like the X-Men I have
that,
loved.
Yeah. And I feel like they could. Like, I want them to go back to, like, classic, original five, like, full-on X-Men reboot.
They won't. They wouldn't. They would never go back to just those original five. It's, but
that's
for
what
a movie.
I want, though.
That's, yeah, no, it's fine, but it's like, I know they'd never do that. Because it's like, it's too, it's, the X-Men is such a diverse cast of characters that it's like, to go back to those, like, five kids, to start at that is just, like, way too...
I don't know. Call it X-Men Homecoming. Just go back to basics, man. Put them all in high school.
Anyway, I'm very
excited.
Get
Michael Keaton in there as Magneto.
Yeah. Just have him be anybody. Let's get him in as many of these movies as possible. Anyway, so thank you guys for listening. Thanks for hanging out with us, talking about comics, sort of. we'll maybe next week we'll finally get to talk about Captain America.
I'll read it.
Okay. you can follow me on Twitter at @TheChrisHaley. Follow the show at KICTM Podcast. Check out the Patreon, patreon.com/TheChrisHaley. Get the episodes early. Cool stuff. All that blah, blah, blah. All the things people tell you to do on podcasts. Thank you so much for listening.
Tell your friends.
Yeah, tell your friends. Retweet. All those kind of things. Get a friend to listen. I don't know. Word of mouth is the best possible advertising. Thank you guys so much for listening. And for if you already do all of those things, you're the best. Thank you so much. We'll catch you next week. And I'll leave you with this.